those foyers and seat another 30 people. Open those doors, let people flow out of them. We're getting ready to have a preacher come minister the Word of God to us. Welcome, Brother Jeff Arnold from Gainesville, Florida.
Praise the Lord, everybody. While you remain standing, let me bring you the word of the Lord. God has put in the mouth of Anthony Mangan more than he understood what he said. He spake prophetically, but far beyond what he understood. For he spoke a few moments ago, said that God would give a mass healing. And prior to him speaking, the Holy Ghost dealt with me on the platform. Said in a few moments, when knowledge is expanded, it is my intention to give a mass healing, but far beyond flesh. Yes.
Far beyond the flesh.
1 John chapter 3. Verse 18, let me thank you while you're turning there for inviting me. Thank you. I want to thank everybody in Alexandria and my home church especially, and a lot of wonderful saints, precious man from Brother Odom's church who came all the way down to Gainesville. And a lot of you know I have been out of commission for 5 months, have not traveled anywhere, was just crippled in disease in my neck and back, and God has touched me, and I'm able to move and walk, and I am very grateful, and I just wanted to publicly thank you for praying for me. Brother Fuller, thank you. I'm uncomfortable now because I'm in total shock of what happened with your ministry. And yet, I have, without a doubt, heard from God. And I realize it's 9:20. And I'll do my very best to get in and out of the chute as fast as I can. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 18, he makes a statement. In verse 19, he interprets the statement. He says, here's how we know we're the truth. We always like to blow off because we believe in Acts 2:38 that that's somehow we are the truth. John says, here's how we know we are the truth. We love indeed. End of lesson. Now watch carefully. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Good. Message I'm to preach now to you is simply entitled, Refuge from Despair.
Oh, yeah.
Refuge from Despair. Lord,
yes, Jesus.
You know exactly how uncomfortable I feel, and yet I feel comfortable.
Yes.
I'm asking you to help me in this paradox right now and to just bring the breath of God into my spirit. I know these people have been in church all day, and I know that it's late. But God, I know that you've talked to me. I'm asking for just to be relaxed in the Holy Ghost. To be bold as I have ever been, to help the people of God for what you want to do right now.
Yes.
Give us a few more moments of glory and somehow deliver us from the things that are absolutely galling us and killing us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Refuge from despair. Got to look it in Brother Daniel Webster's book. He told me what refuge meant. That which shelters or protects from danger or distress. That brings deliverance from that which would harm. Any place where one is out of the way of evil or danger. A harbor that provides safety for vessels in stress or inclement weather. A house of refuge, place for homeless, distressed, or destitute. Even God is in the refuge business. He built cities of refuge. Places of safety, listen carefully, for unintentional homicide. Not for deliberate murderers. Refuge for the unintended. A shelter, a protection from danger. We have animal refuges, wildlife refuges, game reserves. We're living in a day of unprecedented refugees, leaving homes, countries, seeking protection. If you please, to reduce it on a smaller level, even a hospital is a place of refuge, a refuge from sickness. Even a vacation and a trip could be considered a refuge from the rat race and the pressure. A fishing hole, your favorite hobby, a walk, your country place, on and on, refugees and refuge. But I'm here. I'm believing with all my heart, without being brash or egotistical, to challenge and yet help the movement, the people of God. Where do we go for a refuge for failure? Where do we go for a refuge from despair? Where do we go when somehow we have made our mistakes? One writer said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Please bear with me just a moment. I know it's hard for you to go up and down, but I want you to just grab what I'm trying to say. The scripture said the heavens are not clean before God. God charges his angels with folly, but God is rich in mercy. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The scripture said it's not the will of God that any perish, but all come to repentance. Why have we let the devil give us that scripture to make it an evangelistic mandate? That scripture is for saints. Well, we have gone crazy the last 3 or 4 years, questing and searching for gift ministries, power ministries, and I believe we need them. But the gifts work by love. I don't hear anybody preaching about, give me some more love. I want this gift, and I want that gift, and I want to cast out devils and heal the sick, and I prayed for years and years. I want all that stuff. But 3 weeks ago, God woke me up in the middle of the morning and gave me something, said, I want you to talk to this conference, because my people are sick, but they are sick of condemnation. Well, you can get quiet all you want to. I've preached in libraries before. You got to jumping around here over a play. I'm not playing. I said God is greater than my heart.
two things we better learn tonight that we better never believe. Two things. Don't ever believe the devil, because a slime bucket couldn't tell the truth standing on a Bible. He's a liar. You hear me? He's a liar. He couldn't tell the truth. He's a liar. Don't believe him. He's trying to put guilt on you. He's trying to put condemnation on you. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil rape your soul with guilt and condemnation. Now stay with me here. I told you there's two things. Bishop, there's one more thing you don't ever need to believe. And that's your heart. Ha! Did you hear the man? You think I'm crazy? Oh, we're on that devil jazz. But the minute I said heart, you kind of went. But the scripture said, the heart is deceitful above all things. I'm going to make you believe me. The heart is deceitful above all things. Then what in the name of God are you believing its report for? Don't you understand your heart is so limited it can only register right and wrong? You do something good, your heart says, nice. You do something cruddy, says, bad. It's only got one gauge, extreme right, extreme left. But I know a higher court that knows all things. You're not hearing me. Our movement is dying on the inside while we play all this Jubilee jazz. You can leave here with your goosebumps and they'll be gone in a few minutes. But that guilt, that condemnation, that sense of failure will torment you in the morning. It will torment you in the evening. It will drive you crazy. It will make you walk away from God. God wants to heal us tonight of condemnation. Jesus is a refuge from despair. You hear me? This scripture says, if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Now watch this. I've read that book for 20 years. This past year, God gave me a revelation. I didn't get it from you and your tapes. God gave it to me. For 20 years, I've read that scripture and I thought it said, man, if my heart condemn me, I'm in bad shape. God's greater than my heart. God showed me this year, Jeffrey Wayne, you've had it backwards for 20 years. That is not a scripture of condemnation. It is one of encouragement. Because when I fail God, my heart says, bad, hypocrite, fake, plastic, shallow, liar, quit. But he that knows all things says, hold on, grace is coming. If my heart condemn me, God is greater than my heart and knows everything. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to give you some classic Arnold statements. You ready? First one, God never has a bad day. You're not getting the impact of that yet, but you will in about two more statements. At my best, I have lousy days. At my best, there's some days I act out of character. There are times with all my Holy Ghost and G-Jaw and running around the building, I act like an absolute fool. I act like the terrible jerk that sometimes my flesh shows me I am. And you and I justify ourselves and say, well, I'm just not myself today. Poor God can't ever say that. He's always at his best. You didn't hear me. Book says, God is love. When? Always. God loves me. When? Always. Some of you don't love me if I rub your ignorant carcass the wrong way. I can go to one court of appeal higher than you, who loves me always. Who cannot lower himself to have a bad day. If he's loved before, he's loved now. If he loved you last year, he loves you right now. It has nothing to do with your performance. I'm comfortable with some people as long as I perform properly. You ever notice how us humans give out our love? We give it out to people who are worthy, who meet our approval, whose behavior and conduct is what we think it ought to be. But God commendeth his love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If he loved us when we were sinners, he's going to love us when we're sons, even if we sin. Hey, what's the matter with you mannequins out there? I'm talking about a refuge. There's a place we can go. There's a court of appeal that when my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart and knows all things. You be seated a second. I know I got 50 minutes, okay? Now watch. This scripture says, watch, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. What does that mean in normal English? If I be good, I feel good. If I don't violate the Bible, my neighboring pastor, or the manual, I believe I'll pray tonight. You know why? I have confidence towards God. You know why? Because my stupid flesh thinks that my approval and my acceptance at the throne of grace is predicated on my performance. It's predicated on his at the cross. It ain't mine right now. It's his. I stand behind the cross. I stand under the blood. I stand in the name of Jesus. I have been made accepted in the beloved. It doesn't matter what you think, my friend. Grace saved me. Grace keeps me. Grace will help me. Grace is grace. And it's not law. We're saved by grace through faith. You see, as long as you perform properly, then you feel like you've got confidence towards God. You don't back the car out, mama, through the garage door. The old man comes home. Everything's hunky-dory. But if you got the front end of the bumper hanging in the back end of the sink somewhere, you're a little apprehensive in borrowing 20 bucks to go somewhere. I'm trying to get on your level. I'm way out here already. I'm trying to get you to catch up. You ever, well, I used to be young. I know I don't look it, but I used to be young. And I can remember trying to borrow the car from my dad. And long as the lawn was cut and the garbage was taken out, and I hadn't fussed and cussed at my mom and been a smart aleck and what have you, I could pretty well walk up to George and say, "Hey, Pop, how about laying the keys on me, Jack?" And Pop would usually say, "Well, Mildred, it's nice, been good today." But if my mother and I had a fuss, and me and my brother had a knockdown drag outer, and I ended up saying a few beep beep, I was not so bold to walk up to George and say, "How about the Pontiac, Judge?" It was more like, "Using the car tonight?" Now hear what I'm trying to tell you. And when we have a cruddy day, and we think things we shouldn't, and we react the way we shouldn't, the devil has put this damnable condemnation on us so that we don't come boldly. But the book says, come boldly. I said, come boldly. I said, I'm welcome at the throne. It doesn't have anything to do with my performance. It has to do with the blood and grace and mercy. Please sit down just a second. You hear me now? One of the dirtiest things the devil's ever sold to us. And I don't know why we've been so stupid. We write all these books, sell all these tapes, go to all these conferences, and the devil sold us this foolish stuff. God don't love us. We've made it into a Sunday school song. That's why you're wearing a ward on your brain and staying awake at night. And why you're suicidal. And why you're on the verge of a divorce. And why you're an idiot. You leave these conferences and you're frustrated. And your nerves are frazzled. You know why? It ain't because your goosebump machine ain't working. It's because when you walk out, guilt galls your soul. Condemnation crushes you. Beneath its iron heel. But I'm here, I believe, as a word from the Lord to tell you, my friend, you don't have to live with condemnation. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart and knows all things. Before we sin, all the devil does is wear a different robe. He's a quick change artist. He is. Before we sin, he just wears the robe of a tempter. And he just says, go on, try, drink, look, feel, touch, see what it does. And the minute us dummies go, while you're reaching, he goes into the tailor and changes. And now he's the accuser. And says, you got the Holy Ghost, and you did that, you believe in Jesus' name, and you think those thoughts, you mean you're really a child of God, and you listen to this, read that, or watch that, yeah, and he's accusing, and then after he accuses, your heart takes up the beat, I'm guilty, I'm a dirty dog, I'm no good, I'm a hypocrite, might as well quit, might as well leave, but all of a sudden, here comes the God of all grace, stepping in and saying, whoa, said, no, my friend, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never put on you more than you can bear. But with every test and every trial, I'll make a way of escape. I took you to take you there. I'm not going to drop you just because you dropped the ball. I believe that. Hear what I'm saying? Please be seated just another minute or two. That's right. God don't love me. No, sir. And the reason why we believe that crud is because our love is predicated on people who are worthy, who win our approval, comply with our wishes, don't irritate or violate our so-called holy thoughts. Anybody that doesn't measure up to that, we don't like. I'm going to speak well. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Calvary proves that. And come and think of it, all you dudes sitting here on your carcass prove that. Why don't you get a fresh concept of God? Instead of all this ooga booga 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 stuff. Why don't we just be like a little Sunday school kid and said, my dad loves me a whole big bunches. I still can't read some of you. I ain't still got to it. How many parents we got here? Raise your hand. Put your hand down. How many of you parents, when your kids stole, you'd put them up for adoption? Come on, you hypocrites. I'm waiting. I remember the first time my little girl came home, and here I'm trying to teach her, and she's got the Holy Ghost, and I baptized her myself, and she's trying to live in a preacher's home, which is kind of little hell, little heaven. And all of a sudden I get a note from the teacher, and she got caught looking on somebody's paper. That's what they call good old Brooklyn cheating. Now, wait a minute. Brother Mike, when Dina Leanne walks in my house, it's like this, because she's daddy's girl. Hi, Dad. But you watch that heart needle go. And when she come in school that day, it's, yeah. Hi, baby. Right. And then when you talk, the head is attached to the heart. Yeah. You know what she's having a problem with? Her heart's condemning her. You know what her heart told? It'd like to kill me one day. What's the matter, baby? I did something at school I shouldn't have done. Okay. Well, come on, talk to old dad. What happened? Well, come on. What's the matter? Here's what she was afraid. For what? Because I did that, and you taught me against it. You know what? Love the more. Did you hear me? Love the more. When that's right, because she needed me. I said, baby, your daddy would never give you up. I would never put you on the bus and send you out of here because you took drugs or you got yourself in sexual trouble or you smoked or you did some stupid stuff. But the devil had lied to a bunch of us and damn us to a devil's hell and tell us because we do things wrong or we have lousy days or we disappoint God or ourselves that somehow we're up for adoption. I'm here to curse that spirit. I'm here to tell you that's a lie from the devil. God is not going to drop you in the middle of the road. God is going to put more grace where more grace is needed. God is going to stretch forth his blood-stained hand and going to bathe you again. When my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart and knows all things. Am I telling you the truth? Please be seated just another minute. I read a scripture, Bishop, that always bothered me. It said the Lord, he says exactly these words, God is angry with the wicked every day. And I looked at that and I said, boy, you're going to fix their carcass. You're going to fry them into a bunch of crispy critters, man. You're going to just going to put them cats in the lake of fire. Going to get rid of them slime bags. And then all of a sudden God says, you missed it, Jeffrey. I'm angry with them because I love them. Only real love is able to get really angry. We get angry with people in our churches who don't do right. But I wonder if our anger is birthed from love or violating our little image. I wonder if it's love or our little vain pride and ego might get hurt in the scenario of what we think is influential. But God says, when I get mad with you, Jeffrey, it's not because I hate you. If I hated you, I'd let you go your way. Hey, Brother Tenney, when your children were growing up and they did all the dumb things that children do when they grow up, did you call the police? Did you send them to Tupelo? Now you hear what I'm fixing to say. I know I'm a little humorous, but brother, I'm as anointed as Wild Bill Cole over there is. You hear me now? Whatever God was, He is. If He ever loved me, He must love me now. And He does not love me less because I fail. You're not hearing me. What happens is our heart beats too loud. Wrong. Error. Hypocrite. Trespass. It's the devil. Now I'll just cross theological swords with all of you. God don't condemn you. God convicts. He convicts so we won't be condemned. It's the devil who condemns. You know why? Because he can only give what's alive in him, and he's already condemned. Don't you understand? If the devil can get on our case and make us feel guilt, guilt will give birth to regret. Regret gives birth to remorse, dismay, despair, departure, defeat, death. Don't you understand the devil's tricks? Is it so hard for you to understand the difference between the voice of condemnation and conviction? It's real easy. If you're condemned, the voice or the spirit or the emotion that will condemn you will point to your deeds. If God convicts you, He will use His spirit and His word and point you to the Savior. Don't you understand? Condemnation is designed to drive me away. Conviction is designed to draw me back. Condemnation is designed to ruin me. Conviction is designed to reconcile me. Guilt will drive me from the Lord. Conviction will draw me closer to God. Guilt, condemnation is hell's evil weapon to steal joy and peace and fellowship. But grace is heaven's agent that restores and reconciles and renews and gives us a fresh concept and a fresh vision of our great God. I just want to tell you this. I've told some of you this again, but I felt so impressed of the Holy Ghost before to just make reference again, if you don't mind. I don't know why some of you cats are letting the devil suck up your joy, beat your head in, and damn and condemn you because you have thoughts and feelings and emotions that are less than the dignity of a Christian. You have to understand something. This imbecile who's calling you a failure is the universe's greatest. No, you didn't hear me. Do you know how pathetic the devil is when he accuses you? He backslid when there wasn't a devil. He couldn't even make it when there wasn't a devil. What am I going to listen to him for? He lived in the throne room of God, the burning presence of God, and couldn't make it. Don't let him tell you you're a failure. Look at him and say, I'm a failure. You're the biggest failure that ever was, and you're condemned, but I'm not condemned. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Can I have just about 15 more minutes and I'll finish? Just 15 minutes and I'll finish. I'm going to hit something now as hard as I can. Now you conservatives, you ultra-conservative Puritan Pentecostal, against everything but fresh air cats, listen up. Why is the United Pentecostal Church as a movement afraid to preach grace? I'm going to give you what I think. Not that I know, Reverend Will, what I think. The Holy Ghost told me. My people refuse to preach grace because they have watched people who preach grace and stretched it to disgrace, so we won't touch it. Grace is not a license for loose living. Grace is a higher law than law. The law of love and the law of liberty is much higher than rules and regulations. I don't need no manual. I don't need you to tell me beans. I got the Holy Ghost. I fast and pray. I walk by this book. I fear God and I love him that saved me. And whatever he wants me to do, the greatest desire of my life is not to just be saved. It's to please God. We are cursed with a people who are so selfish, so small. All you want to do is miss hell. Did you hear me? All you want to do is miss hell. I gave up that garbage about 18 years ago. I'm not interested in missing hell. That's a guaranteed solution if I walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. I don't have to worry about hell. My drive, my desire is not to live so I can just miss hell and miss a bunch of critiquing. I want to please him. I want to please him. I want to make him happy. I want to honor the grace that grabbed me, that called me out, that forgave me, that adopted me, that redeemed me, that remitted my sins, that set me free. I want to please him. And so, because we've seen certain movements, denominations, whatever you want to call them, walking in what they call grace, and they don't dress like us, act like us. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to me. I ain't afraid of you. You hear me? And so people in some movements have misinterpreted grace and extended it too far. While we, the non-involved critics, don't extend it at all. And so we make more resolutions, build a manual that needs loose leaf papers, gotta go in and out, outweighs the King James family size Bible. And you could take care of it in one scripture. Don't walk in the flesh, walk in the spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we are cursed with a lot of people who are not interested in being full of the love of God. They're interested in brown envelopes and their picture. Yeah. Now, I'm not God's cop. You guys can just run me down, laugh all you want, do whatever you want. But I'm going to tell you something, Doc. I'm saved by grace. Grace found me when I was a drunk. Grace forgave me when I was a liar. Grace put me in the baptismal tank. Grace filled me with the Holy Ghost. And when I've committed sin, grace convicted my heart. And grace forgave me again. I'm telling you, I'm not afraid of grace. Because if I lived for God with a yearning to please Him, I will walk in faith. Could it be, you can be seated a second, I'm sorry. Could it be that the other reason why we do not preach a lot of grace is because we're afraid we'll lose our little nasty control of people? How dare we let people hear from God themselves? We're the head knockers. Don't you know there's believers and then there's capital B believers? I'm going to tell you, honey, there's something coming down in this universe besides the Berlin Wall. We don't trust the Holy Ghost. If we don't give people a long list of legislation of what they can do, what they can't do, where they can go, when they can't go, you don't really believe all the people you tell all that junk to is doing it, do you? You know what, you little hypocrites? You might believe in more grace than I've given you credit for. Let me give you a little, I'm going to give you a little play. Watch. Jumping, shouting, juking. Go over to Mangan's, eat. Go home to the motel, take a shower. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Lay down, think I'll watch the news. And then you end up watching something you shouldn't watch. And then there goes your heart. And then you don't feel like praying, and you don't feel like worshiping, and you don't feel like studying. But here comes grace saying, I know all things. I know you didn't really mean it. I'm greater than your heart. I'll still forgive you. I'll still have mercy on you. I'll not damn you. I'll not condemn you. I'm greater than your mistakes. Am I telling the truth? You are telling the truth. A few more minutes here. God wants to get a hold of us tonight and give us a mass healing. We got to get rid of this guilt. We got to get rid of this condemnation. We got to believe he loves me with an everlasting love. It doesn't matter how many mistakes I make. He still loves me like when he first found me. Now listen to me, my ultra-conservative brethren. You hear me now? And I'm not against ultra-conservative. I think we need it. I don't particularly go that way, but I think we need it. So it's right. And I don't think we need ultra-liberals that don't believe fat meat's greasy. I don't think that's good either. I'm trying to get a balance in my life. But I'm just about wore out with you and your dumb critiquing. Jesus, help me. Well, I'm going to do like you did, Uncle Bill. I'm going to survive this. Brother Kenneth, I love you. I really do. I don't know whether you're an idiot or not. I don't know. I don't know whether you're the terrible devil I heard you were. I don't really think so. I think you got the Holy Ghost. I don't know all the answers to all this junk. And I'm sorry, I'm embarrassing all you cats. But man, we're sending up Scud missiles from one camp and patriots from the other. And the fallout is killing a lot of innocent people. And I'm saying if God forgives, you better forgive. And if somebody asks to be forgiven, you better forgive him. Or you're an absolute nasty, rotten hypocrite, and God ought to kill you. That's right. You hear me now? This book says that God was merciful and gracious to save us. He is now faithful and just to forgive us. The God of all glory and power is also the God of all grace. We are called to preach the truth. Listen, friend, we can jump up and down and play our ukuleles and bang into the walls all we want to about we got the truth, we got the truth. The scripture says you ought to preach the truth in L-O-V-E. We're not supposed to beat somebody because they don't act, dress, and look like us. How do you know we're right? I think we're right as far as trying to be modest and sober and not wear a bunch of stuff that's gaudy and draws undue attention to ourselves. I think that's proper. I don't have no problem with that. I don't care how much grace God shows me. I'm not going to buy a bikini and put on a necklace. I'm not interested. I'm comfortable where I am. I'm staying right here. You know why? Because when my heart condemns me, Bishop, God is greater than my heart and knows all things. What am I saying? Hey, Jack, you don't know all things. Shut up. All you can do is judge the deed. You don't know beans about my desire. Let me finish this. I'm sorry to get a mess going here. God showed me a scripture. I preached it 20 years, but I never did see it. Hebrews 4:16. Wherefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may receive help. Now, I've preached that lots of times, but the Holy Ghost said, I would like you to read the last word. I had it printed there for you. Would you mind reading the last word? And it says, wherefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may receive help in the time of... That's the time I don't want to come. When I've had a dirty thought, and I've acted below the dignity of a Christian, and things went against me and I shot my stupid mouth off and I found out I had a lousy attitude, that's not the time I want to go to the throne of grace, but that's the time I'm invited. In the time of need. Said, come boldly. When? When you did everything wrong and nothing's going right. God says, you're welcome right now, because now's when you need the grace. The time when I sense my failure and my mistakes and disappointments, when I feel least able, God puts out this giant blood-soaked welcome mat in front of the throne of grace and said, come on, Jose. You just think how un-Jesus we are like. Yeah, if I violate your concept, or if I rub your ignorant fur the wrong way, and maybe I'm totally wrong, all of a sudden, I'm excluded. Even to the point that if I repent, you still don't like me. Who in the name of God are you? God said if I asked him for forgiveness, he'd give it. Who are you to withhold it? Somebody asks for forgiveness, you, dear Jesus, we're going to make him crawl. Well, now, I want to check how sincere you are. Hope God gives you an instant replay next time you need a little help. When that condemnation is dragging our souls down and we get discouraged and disillusioned and guilt is galling our inner man and all of a sudden we feel so full of despair and depressed that we want to depart. We feel this condemnation saying, you're disqualified. And I go to God and I say, God, I've been a jerk. I had a bad attitude. I said some things I shouldn't have said. I turned on the boob tube and I watched something I shouldn't have watched and it created emotions in me that's not good. And I'm just an absolute hypocrite. And if you won't, here's my card. Now you think I'm kidding you, Brother Hudson, but while I reached out to give him my offering, the accuser of the brethren is standing there and said, aha! Guilty! 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 And as he yells at me, blood begins to drip on the accusation. Said, forgiven! 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 For if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Oh, the God of all grace has appeared to us, showing us that he loves us. Okay, my 5 minutes is gone. If you'll just give me another five. I just got to get to this scripture over here, and I'm going to get to John right now, Doc. Hold on. John 21.
13:3-17.
John 21.
Yeah. Simon Peter said unto them.
Hold. Wait a minute. I want to ask a question. The bishop's here. The wonderful officials of God are here, and I thank God for all of you. I appreciate you and all the jazz you do. I'm real happy about all that. Listen to me real careful. I am concerned for our young people in our churches. Now, this is going to be rated X, so you act like you don't watch or hear or understand what I'm saying. We got girls in our churches getting pregnant. Now, wait a minute. That ain't the problem. That's been happening for thousands of years. That ain't no problem. That just kind of comes with the birds and the bees and the way life is. Now, listen to me. I don't have a problem with that. I don't like for people to go to bed and commit fornication and get pregnant and lose their virginity and their chastity and all their purity. I'm sorry. I hate for that to happen. But the thing that God is dealing with me about is why such a great fault among us that when a young girl in our churches gets herself in trouble, or a young fella, she does not come to us, but goes to her sinner friends. Something tells me it is because they sense if they come to us with their confession, they will be blanketed with tons of condemnation. And they're already self-condemned and embarrassed and humiliated, and they need us like they need polio. So they'll go to some friend who understands. I think it is a reproach to us as a movement that people who have fallen by the wayside or made some mistakes could not, in their deep hour of discouragement and disillusionment and despair, not wake up and say, I know I'm a screwball, I know I dropped the ball, but there's a church that will not condemn me, that will put their arms about me and will pray for me and will welcome me home and say, come on, friend, there's room on the farm for you. What happens to all our preachers that fall in sin? What happens to all our saints that somehow in a moment just do something stupid? What happens? Why do they feel immediately alienated to such a degree that they could never share their heart with us? I think it's because we have practiced Pentecostal condemnation on the highest level. You meet the criteria, you get to play on the team. You blow the criteria, and here's a ton of condemnation for you. But now when I drop the ball, I will not tolerate the condemnation from you. I got a higher court of appeal. You can stay here and suck your thumb, Jack. I'm going to the throne. And while I'm at the throne, Brother Lumpkin, I've been asking God to forgive me for being such a jerk. For hating and disliking people who weren't my flavor. You say, you? Yes, me. You taught it to me. Okay, I'll finish right now. I will, don't worry. I just say that to make you feel comfortable. I want you to see this. I'm getting to my sermon right now. My sermon's only 10 minutes. I'll finish, right? Read for me.
Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing.
You know that every time that you get into a condemnation mode and you get filled with guilt, the first thing you'll do is depart. Because dejection has a way of driving you away. And it's easy when you're feeling condemned and guilty to return to what you used to do. And by the way, the scripture says the other fellas went with him, because when you go back, you never go alone. Read.
They say unto him, we also go with thee.
Hey, listen. Now, I ain't got time for all this because we're running out of time. The scripture says they went out and fished all night. You know the story. Didn't catch nothing. There's a fella on the shore. Says, children, do you have any meat? They said, no, we fished all night. Didn't take anything. He said, cast on the right side of the ship and you shall find. John looks at Peter and says, I know who that is. I said, how do you know? You can't even see him. Here's what John says. This is in between the scriptures. Here's what John says. Watch me now. Who else ever asked you to try again where you failed once before? Why don't you try one more time where you failed? You that have dropped the ball, why don't you let the one that's on the beach, who's the God of all grace, give you a little redirection and accept the forgiveness and the mercy and the restoration of your God? Okay, one more minute and I'm finished. I'm sorry to keep you going. I don't ask you to do that. I want to show you this. I got a revelation from
He
this.
Saith unto him the third time.
Now watch this. Now you know the story. Peter puts his coat on, goes swimming up to the shore, and they're dragging the net. Jesus got the fish and got the coals, bacon, and the breads there, and he says, bring them the fish that you've caught. And we know the story, but do we know the story? Jesus turns around and says, hey, Pete, come here. I've got a little conversation with you, Jack. I want to talk to you for a second. He said, lovest thou me? He said, oh, yeah, I love you. Watch this. He said, I like that. He said, Pete, lovest thou me? He said, oh, yeah, Lord, I love you. Watch this.
He saith unto him the third time.
Here we go. Watch.
Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?
Watch this. You're going to see, first time in your life, where John got his scripture to put in 1 John. Read.
Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me?
Watch this.
And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things.
Stop. John was standing there when Pete said, thou knowest all things. John went, I would put that in a book. You think I'm kidding you? 2,000 years later, it's helping me right now. Thou knowest all things. You know that I love you. You know that I didn't mean to lie. I didn't mean to deny you. You know that I really do love you. That was a moment of weakness. Thou knowest all things. Watch this. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Now watch. In despair, Peter cast himself on Jesus' omniscience. Now, wait a minute. Get up there. Now, this is not an accident. Why was it that God used an ex-liar denier to be Pentecost preacher? And when Peter preached that day and said, you bunch of Jew murderers, you killed the Lord of glory. And the prophets told you he was coming, and you murdered him. And now I want you to know something. God hath made this same Jesus, whom you are the murderers of, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When he said that, they went, watch me. And they were pricked. Condemned. And they got the gospel sword in their heart. Hey, Pete, we're condemned. Our heart's condemning us. We did it. Any hope for us? He says, boys, I know just how you feel, but there's one that's greater than your heart, and he knows all things. Stay standing. We've had enough. Jesus, have mercy. You just stay there. Is this preaching?
It is preaching. Where are we going? Psalms?
I want you to go to Psalms 61. Finish preaching. Who am I looking at? Brother Morton, my friend. Hey, Morton. In Luke 18, there's a story of a Pharisee and a publican. And they prayed together. And the Bible said, the publican is suffering from heart condemnation, so that he won't even lift up his head. And the good religious dude over here is reading out his accolades to God. But the poor slob over here suffering from Demeter on his heart thing way on the right. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You see, when your heart is condemned, watch this. Now watch, everybody watch. All you folks in video land, watch, watch. Here's what happens. There is a string that's on this meter in your heart, and when it goes bad, watch, watch my head, watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so his heart is condemning him so that he cannot even so much as lift up his head. But when he says, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Yeah.
The God of grace comes in with grace and cut the string. And he goes to his house justified. And when David goes to bed with another man's wife and then bumps off her old man and waits 1 year playing the Pentecostal hypocrite, prophet, priest, and king, and reading Psalms 32, 1 through 7, where his moisture dries up inside him and his bones roar all night because he's under condemnation, and God waits 9 or 10 months and he won't repent. So what does God do? The devil's condemning him. The devil's condemning him. But God sends a preacher to bring conviction. And when the preacher gives him the parable of the ewe lamb, he says, you're the man. This prophet, priest, and king, a man after God's own heart, said, I'm guilty. I'm wrong. Pray for me, preacher. The Bible says the very next verse, the Lord has just put away your iniquity. But we want to make people beg. Okay. I was rebuked by the Lord a little over 2.5 years ago in our local church, and I finished. Thank you for listening. We had a lady that I had a little problem with dealing, and either her spirit was bad or mine, but being I was the head knocker, it had to be her. And while we were having the altar service, Bishop Hershon, having the altar service, I saw she had been a blessing for a long time, but got a little crossways, and I kind of set her down and put her over there. And she raised enough cane there to last me a lifetime. I didn't, you know, just, watch this. I'm finishing. She's standing over there, and we're just moving and juking, man, and just having a time. And here the Holy Ghost says, son, tell her to come up and play. My face went tingly. Tithe envelopes flying away. Board members leaving. And I said, Lord, she's caused me enough hell to last me a lifetime. He said, don't you ever put anybody on parole again. When I forgive them, I restore them. And I have a controversy with my people who are putting people on parole till they prove them. And Jonah backslid and went into the submarine and prayed and repented. And chapter 3 says he gets vomited out on the shore. Hear this, general board, other board, district board, whatever board, church board. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, where's the parole? Where's the period where he proves his ministry? He's repented in a whale's belly. And God said, forgiven. Now get back to work. Plead for me, Brother Anthony.
Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed.
When my what?
When my heart is overwhelmed.
When my heart.
When my heart is overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed.
Lead me to that rock. Lead me to that rock.
That is higher.
That is higher.
Than I am.
Than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me. And a strong tower from my enemy. I will abide in my tabernacle forever. I will trust and cover thy wings. Amen, amen, amen.